Good to see everybody out tonight. I don't know how your July 4th went, but ours was pretty good. We got to celebrate it with the mouse, and it was pretty good fireworks. I enjoy the 4th of July. Some 246 years ago is about when we created this place. Our founders got together and broke away from the British rule. We celebrate, of course, like I said, with fireworks, with barbecues, with parades, with just general good-timedness, if that's a word. It's a day that we celebrate and we sing and we smile and we laugh. We don't associate it that day with tears. And you go to the song America the Beautiful, and it features the beauty of America. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Sing along if you know it. Just kidding. For amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. But we might forget another verse that says, oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in thy self-control. Thy liberty is law. Undimmed by human tears. Can you imagine? I remember 9/11, and there were lots of tears flowing in New York. I remember 2020 and 2021 and 2022. There have been a lot of tears during this pandemic. You take the racial riots that we've went through. In just recent days, the gun violence that we have seen. And for whatever reason, I seem to want to feel all of those things. They all grieve me tremendously. What we're told three times, at least, that Jesus wept or shed tears. First was at the tomb of Lazarus in John 11:35. And then lastly, we see it, even though the gospel writers don't use this wording, but we find it in the book of Hebrews describing Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says there in Hebrews 5:7 that he, meaning Jesus, offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. And then before we had one more time of Jesus weeping, and we can find that, we're going to spend the rest of our time in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 41. Luke chapter 19, in verse 41, and here Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem for the final time. And it says, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricades around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within it, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. So let's just talk for a second about those tears in Luke chapter 19. One was tears of sorrow for sin. Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, would say that Jerusalem in the first century was so magnificent that people were blinded by its radiance when the Palestinian sun would reflect on it, that they would have to turn their eyes away. When Jesus was preparing to go into Jerusalem, he stops at the Mount of Olive Heights to look out over the city. And I don't believe there was any awe or admiration in his gaze. I think he stood silent. I think you could see his lip quivering and his eyes filled with tears as Jesus just had this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What would bring tears to his eyes right after that event as he viewed the city? Jesus might have seen the temple from there, which would have been a glorious structure, which took more than 50 years for it to be built. And at this time, it still hadn't been finished being built yet. Yet Jesus was no doubt saddened by the mockery, the shocking insincerity, the cold formulality to be found there in the temple. Jesus could also see the money changers who would soon be thrown out for selling animals and exchanging money, piling up profits in the name of religion. He would see the multitudes who would buy those best animals. And they would go on thinking that if they had such offerings, they could be cleansed from their sins, even though their hearts were far from God. He might have heard the chanting of the Pharisees who might be saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get. The hypocrisy and the arrogance made Jesus cry. If Jesus were in the flesh today, I'm sure that Jesus would shed many tears over our spiritual condition. We have so many religious folks, but so few who strive to follow that great commandment. If they did love the Lord with all their being, well, we know things would change. The preaching of the gospel gets pushed into the background. You can ask almost any American citizen outside of these walls about salvation, and a lot of them are probably going to tell you that they don't need saved. That they might tell you that they're so good, that they're so righteous, that God is going to welcome them in with open arms, and there's no reason for them to come to church. But I'm afraid that without Jesus, that there is no salvation. You cannot be saved because you're so good. The Bible will go on to say that no one is good. No, not one. There are so many that are filled with greed and lust and hatred and things like that. We are a people. Christians are a people formed through Christian pioneers and blessed above many others, but because of that heritage. We are truly a free people. But even so, sometimes we forget God. Sometimes we neglect our privileges. We spurn our blessings and we reject our Savior. But we have that avenue of prayer to come back, to seek our forgiveness from our God. Many people are more concerned with pleasing other people around them than what they care about what God thinks. Jesus would ask in John 5:44, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes only from God? To stop the tears of Christ, we should go back to the Bible, back to our Redeemer, back to the blood of his atonement, back to the justification by grace through faith at baptism for good works. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that choice to come forward and to be baptized into Christ. If you are a Christian and need prayers of the congregation, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.